I'm so glad that our speakers have provided some incredible information. And I got interested in the Ayurvedic diet partly because of my own Indian heritage. And after med school in North Carolina, I traveled to India and had an intensive study of Ayurveda with a teacher. And let me start by saying that there are a great deal of studies, both in India and the United States, about Ayurveda and the Ayurvedic diet. However, many of them are, or most of them, are extremely small, and they're not great studies. However, they have had successes, many good studies done looking at focal points of Ayurveda, whether it be certain foods, certain herbs, and they found an unequivocal benefit. And yet, the Ayurvedic study, as Dave said, is like the Dean Ornish diet. The Ayurvedic diet, I'm sorry, is like the Dean Ornish. It's lifestyle based. So it doesn't, it's a little bit harder to study unless you isolate a group of people who are all living in a particular way. So I'm going to introduce you to some of the concepts of Ayurveda, and I'll start with telling you two small verses in Sanskrit that my teacher taught me, and I'll translate them into English. One of them, which I use daily, is that when the body is at rest, the mind is calm and alert. And within a calm and alert mind, one can see divinity in oneself and all others. So it's really an algorithm that we need to focus on bringing our body to a state of relaxation and rest. The second verse, which I call the Ayurvedic Serenity Prayer, which I try to remember every morning when I wake up, which is, it's got three concepts to it. Number one, I know I will die. Number two, I'm grateful to be alive. And number three, I will not cheat my awareness. I know I will die, I'm grateful to be alive, and I won't cheat my awareness. And that's a beautiful segue into a continuation, really, of some of the concepts Jenny was talking about, which is Ayurveda, it at its root is fundamentally about mindfulness. It's about awareness. And many people mistake the Ayurvedic food or the Ayurvedic diet as Indian food. It ain't. And please don't go to Indian restaurants and think you've eaten an Ayurvedic diet. Hope that helps. So I think, how many of you have heard of the Ayurvedic diet? The reason that I included this on this panel is because both in Europe as well as the US, there's an increased awareness about Ayurveda, especially thanks to Vasant Lad and Deepak Chopra. And it's a very easy lifestyle and diet to adopt and integrate into our lives as long as we don't understand it to be religious or rigid in any way. And, you know, as with any other practice, there are certainly Ayurvedic practitioners who will try to implement it in a fairly rigid way, and that's not at all my belief system. In fact, I believe that you can do the Mediterranean diet or follow the findings of the China study and do a plant-based diet or do the paleo diet. And if you adapt it to who you are and to your life circumstance, and we'll do a little bit of that, then it's an Ayurvedic diet. It has so many correlates as I go along in medicine and in psychotherapy and in nutrition that, you know, I think it boils down to insight and common sense. I invite you to sit back for a moment now and feel the breath in your body. Don't, again, as Jenny said, don't have to do anything particular. You can be where you're at And sometimes it helps to close your eyes, to just feel the breath. Breath connects mind to the body. And the Ayurvedic concept completely is that the mind and the body are one. And we know that through so many neurological studies now, that the brain-body, brain-mind-body continuum is a reality. So what I'd like you to do with your eyes closed is recall peacefully the food that you've eaten in the last 2 to 3 days, rather than trying to create a list in your mind about what that food is. Just let the images of what food you ate come gently into your mind. And now I want you to turn your attention to your bowel movements, my favorite subject. And I want you to recall in the last few days what your bowel movement was like. How many bowel movements did you have per day? Was it at least one or two? Were they well formed? Did they slide out of you like ripe bananas? Did you have a feeling of emptying? How was your sleep? Was it calm with calm dreams? Or was it irritable with waking up frequently and not enough sleep or difficulty falling asleep? How was your energy level? If you recall back to particular meals, think about how you felt immediately after eating and maybe 2 hours after eating and 4 hours after eating. And in general, were you energetic, or was your energy going up and down, or were you lethargic? And most importantly, how was your mood? Were you peaceful and happy and calm and clear, self-reflective? Or were you irritable, impatient, anxious, and sluggish? So you can open your eyes again and thank yourselves for allowing yourself to go through a very brief mindfulness exercise, because this is indeed, without having to go through a lot of, you know, intricate spending a lot of money and buying a lot of books or spending hours and hours with an Ayurvedic practitioner finding out if you're Vata Pitta Kapha, you can simply practice mindfulness with yourself and say, how's my diet making me feel? If it is the right diet for you at this moment, you would feel quite good. And what good is debatable. I know that, and that's a more complex issue, but I'm trying to keep it really simple, and I think we can, most of us, have a sense of what it's like to have a sense of well-being and a sense of resilience and flow. My concept of Ayurveda also follows Jenny's idea of the delight of being a child. In fact, my idea is, you know, last time I spoke about trauma, I started to say that I've been going from thinking of myself as a medical doctor to MD mother doctor. And the Ayurvedic concept is of being a mother to ourselves, a child. And most of us have been, or all of us have been, parents to either humans or other animals. And we know that, especially for babies and small children, we pay exquisite amounts of attention about how that baby digested its food. And we look at things like, how did the baby sleep, or the child sleep? And how's the baby growing? And how's the baby playing? And we look in the diapers. We not only change them, but we look fairly closely. How was the poop? So we do that already, common sense, for our children. We need to do that for ourselves. So, Ayurveda, really at its root, is about finding groundedness no matter who we are. And groundedness is a great concept to focus on because we're an extremely stressed out society. And, you know, I think John was saying that the paleo folks had a lot more time on their hands. We move incredibly fast, except especially in Boulder. And so we can assume that without, again, having to have a detailed look at constitutions, that we need to balance the effects of stress on our body and assume that those effects can actually be balanced by food. And Ayurveda also says that not only do we pay attention to our elemental inherent constitution and our life circumstance, but also to the climate where we live. We live in a very dry climate. Well, in order to balance a very dry climate, which will dry us out, interestingly, I've had more people with DVTs when I was in clinic than I did in Tennessee, where a lot more people were sedentary. And you know, my theory is that this is a very dry climate. We may be more dehydrated here. DVTs are deep venous thromboses, the clots in legs. So in a dry climate, our common sense approach would be to moisten ourselves, eat more juicy foods, more stew-like foods, drink more water. So we can apply very sensible ways of looking at our lives. So first we looked at life circumstance, trying to balance out stress. We try to balance out the climate, the season. We don't want to eat the same thing. In the heat of the summer, we want to eat cooling foods. However, in the cold winter, we don't want to be eating ice cream. And we want to look, too, at the day-to-day. You know, we may not want to eat the same thing for breakfast as we do at dinner time or at lunchtime. Ayurveda says, eat most of your food, your heaviest meal in the middle of the day when the sun is the highest in the sky, when the body fire is also the highest. Another concept, so an Ayurvedic concept of health is that if in fact we were living in accordance to all of these life rhythms and internal rhythms, that we develop an ability to adapt to life as it is, as it flows. So health is certainly not a lower blood pressure, low cholesterol, or a low pulse rate, or even the absence of disease. It is our ability to be resilient, to flow with life, to adapt to what's going on, which means that you can have a chronic and debilitating illness and adapt to your life circumstance exactly as it is and maintain wellness and health. So it's a very, very interesting concept. And perhaps this means that there's really no such thing as health and illness, but a way of looking at ourselves and developing awareness of what balance we need to be in. Another Ayurvedic concept is a concept of what's the Sanskrit word for us is prajnaparatha. It says illness starts with us offending our inner wisdom, and you talked a great deal about that. And so to have an awareness, for instance, of, gosh, this sure feels like I've eaten enough, but I feel I still want to keep eating because this is so delicious. Right there, we've violated an inner sense. Again, if we're in the middle of winter and we're drinking ice-cold water, and there's some inner sense, it's probably not the right thing to do. It's probably not the right thing to do. If we're eating at 10 o'clock at night because that's our lifestyle, we're residents in the hospital, or we work really late and we've just gotten home and we've eaten a very heavy meal, something inside us says, gosh, this feels good for right now, but it's probably not a wise thing to do. It's probably not a wise thing to do. So not only And I find an interesting correlate in a kind of cognitive behavioral therapy called ACT, which is a radical acceptance of the present moment, choices, and taking action. And this is what this is. So this idea of I will not cheat my awareness, which is in my Ayurvedic Serenity Prayer, is that not only do I develop awareness about who I am, but I act in accordance to that awareness. So I'd like to leave you with sort of my Ayurvedic top 10 in terms of an Ayurvedic diet. Number one, as I said, is the awareness and action that can probably go 1 through 9. And 9.1 is foods to decrease your stress. And my greatest hint to you about that is eat warm cooked foods. John just demonstrated that cooked foods are simply provide greater surface area, easier to digest. And there's a huge raw foods movement going on in this country, and especially in Boulder. What do I feel about it? I think it is probably working for people who are whose constitutional and body types are heavy and lethargic, and it lightens them up. For most of us, it's likely to increase our stress simply because of the quality of that food. It's very light and overly lightens us and is hard to digest. So foods to decrease stress, increased warm cooked food, eat slowly, chew a lot. In fact, there's no point in being obsessed about what to eat if when you look at your poop, you're still seeing pieces of broccoli coming out. Eating consciously, making lunch your main meal of the day. You know, there's a very sweet thing that you can do, and that is to, if possible, lay on your left side for 15 minutes after you eat lunch. And this supports enteral digestion in the stomach. This is the place that releases most of your stomach acids, and it's very peaceful. If you're sitting in a meeting or you're sitting at your desk after eating, just lean to your left side for 15 minutes, and Ayurveda says that's going to give you tremendously more peace and energy for the rest of the afternoon. Ayurveda also promotes very slow, peaceful changes. Nothing rigid, no big deprivation diets. Make changes very slowly and very peacefully. Sleep enough, because when we sleep enough, our large intestines have time to actually form the stool and pass it through so that you can poop first thing in the morning. How many of you poop first thing in the morning when you get up? So I'm going to give you a hypnotic suggestion that starting tomorrow morning, you're going to get up and start pooping. Follow the rhythms of life, number 8. Number 9, since people always want magic pills, 2 Ayurvedic magic pills are ginger and turmeric. And number 10, delight in your food. Delight in your wellness that you have. Our medical system tends to focus in on sick model. We scare the bejesus out of our patients and ourselves. And do the things that feel really good and give you energy. And let's end with a chant, and this is because I trained in a very conservative Christian residency program, or it wasn't Christian, but it was in a very Christian place, and the pediatric nurse asked me on my first day of our rotation, she said, what church do you go to? And I said, I go to the Church of Monty Python. And so, because I'm so irreverent, I will have us chant something that sounds like Om, but it's not. It's Yum because of this. So we will chant Yum 3 times to remind ourselves what our job is. So nice deep breath in. Yum. 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 Thank you.